One of my favorite books of all time, besides Winnie the Pooh, the original, is Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass. I don't know why, it just is one of my favorites because there's so much nonsense in there that makes perfect sense, which I guess is a reflection on the world we live in today. Chapter 5 of Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland is Advice from the Caterpillar. And I want to read at least a short section of that to set us up for our discussion of the parable of the Good Samaritan today. So the caterpillar and Alice looked at each other for some time in silence. At last, the caterpillar took the hookah out of its mouth and addressed her in a languid, sleepy voice. "Who are you?" said the caterpillar. This was not an encouraging opening for a conversation. Alice replied rather shyly, I hardly know, sir, just at present. At least I know who I was when I got up this morning, but I think I must have been changed several times since then. What do you mean by that? Said the caterpillar sternly. Explain yourself. I can't explain myself, I'm afraid, sir, said Alice, because I'm not myself. See? I don't see, said the caterpillar. I'm afraid I can't put it more clearly, Alice replied very politely, for I can't understand it myself to begin with, and being so many different sizes in a day is very confusing. It isn't, said the caterpillar. Well, perhaps you haven't found it so yet, said Alice, but when you have to turn into a chrysalis, you will someday, you know. And then after that, into a butterfly, I should think you'll feel it a little queer, won't you? Not a bit, said the caterpillar. Well, perhaps your feelings may be different, said Alice. All I know is it would feel very queer to me. You, said the caterpillar contemptuously, who are you? So the question goes on, and everybody gets frustrated at each other as they discover who they are. And that's really the question that is behind the Good Samaritan parable. Jesus never comes right out and says it directly to the lawyer or to the scholar of the law, the Torah scholar, who knows all about the law and knows how to follow the law and knows everything there is for the law and to explain it to others. And he's the one who asks Jesus, what shall I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he goes on to explain the two major commands, love the Lord your God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yeah, if you're able to do that perfectly, you're in. And so then the lawyer, thinking that he's been doing it pretty good up to now, wants to know for sure, in order to get it all right, who his neighbor is. In other words, who is it that I have to love as myself, because there are some who I know I have to, and then there are some who I don't think I should. So Jesus goes into the parable and explains the story of a man walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, which at that time, that road between Jerusalem and Jericho was notorious. It was a dangerous road. It wasn't some place that you would ever want to walk by yourself, no matter who you were. You would always go in a group because it was a dangerous road. And so the story kind of sets this up as a man doing something, foolish, walking down this road by himself, and he gets jumped by robbers and beaten up and left for dead along the side of the road. And then a priest and a Levite come down the road, two members of the class, you know, they're the top of the class. They're the ones who ought to know what it's like to love your neighbor as yourself. And we can offer all sorts of explanations for why the priest and the Levite didn't help. We have all sorts of justifications for why they didn't reach down and touch the man who was injured and bleeding. And we can justify that behavior all day long, just as we can justify our own for why we don't help when the time comes. So the question remains, who are you? Jesus goes on to explain that next a Samaritan comes. And in the ears of the teacher of the law, Samaritan is one of those words that you just don't say. And they didn't, you know, not that they just didn't get along. They really hated one another. And Each one was heretical to the other and in control of things, and it was just a mess between those two groups of people. And so the Samaritan then sees the man, has compassion. I love that phrase, has compassion. It, in the Greek, it means his insides came outside. I've talked about that before. His insides came outside. He had compassion. His heart went out to the man is how we would phrase it today. And he helps. And not only does he help, he binds up his wounds. And so he's touching this injured man and he's bleeding. And so he's binding up his wounds with oil and wine and sort of helping to stabilize him, and then puts him on his own animal and walks him to the inn. And then not only takes care of him at the inn, but then when the time comes, he gives the innkeeper a couple of extra bucks to take care of him when he's gone. And then he says, if there's anything more, I'll pay it when I come back. I mean, this is true compassion that the Samaritan is showing. So the question then, as Jesus is explaining this, the question that the lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? His mind is going in different directions. Is his neighbor the priest? Well, yeah, because I love my neighbor as myself. He's a priest. He's, you know, in the same sort of class as me. So, yes, naturally, he would be my neighbor. And the Levite, yes, he too would be my neighbor because he is the one who is, again, in the same class and this kind of thing. And so then the Samaritan, no, Samaritan wouldn't be my neighbor. But that's not what Jesus asks him. At the end, Jesus turns this parable around, and rather than qualifying who a neighbor is that needs to be loved, he asks the man, who are you? Well, he doesn't ask him that question. He says, who was a neighbor to the man who was injured? Not who is your neighbor, or who would you consider to be a neighbor? Who was a neighbor to the man who was injured, and he is forced to admit the one who had mercy on him? Not the priest, not the Levite, the one who had mercy on the neighbor. So then Jesus turns it around and says, now you go and not just find your neighbors, but you be a neighbor. You be a neighbor to the man who needed help. The question at the end is, who are you? Who am I in this parable? It's a tough question because this parable is very convicting. I don't know if you're reading it the same way I am, but it's very convicting. Who is my neighbor, or who am I to be a neighbor to? Am I the robber in this story? Am I the one who looks for the weak and attacks, who takes advantage of, who abuses and exploits? Am I the robber? Well, we look back at our own behavior. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes we are. Sometimes we're the one with the venomous words that come out to hurt people. Sometimes we're the ones with the actions that end up hurting people. Sometimes we're the robbers. Sometimes we're the victim. Yes, sometimes we're walking down a road doing something completely foolish, right? Use some sense here. And yet we are attacked, taken advantage of, abused, neglected, beaten. Sometimes it's all of that. Sometimes we're the victim. Sometimes we're the neighbor. Sometimes we're the robber. Who are you? Like Alice, I can hardly explain it myself. I've changed so many times. I don't really know who I am. Are we the priest? Right? Ooh, this is a tough one. The priest, knowing what would happen if he actually had to tend to the one who needed help, you know, it would take him out of his way, right? He'd have to cross the... Jesus says he passed by on the other side of the road. It would take him out of his way. He'd have to go to this side of the road. he'd have to tend to somebody who, was not in a condition that you normally want to work with. Somebody who was in complete and utter need, had nothing. He was naked and beaten and almost dead. He had nothing to give, nothing to offer, no exchange. And yet the priest, who ought to have known what compassion means, turned a blind eye and went on his way. Sometimes we're the priest. Sometimes we see people in need and we literally go to the other side of the road. It's convicting, I know. And it's not, you know, we, like the lawyer, we have all kinds of justifications for why we do what we do. But this parable leaves no room for justification. In Jesus' mind, as he's telling this parable, there is no excuse for not having compassion on someone in need. You could have been the highest priestly class. There's no excuse. And we hear that and we go, but Jesus, there are times, but Jesus, sometimes, but Jesus, I don't want to enable, but Jesus, I don't want to, and we're convicted. Because yes, we often ignore the cries of those for help because our priorities or our own feelings or our own, whatever the justification is. Yes, we're the priest. Yes, we're the Levite. Same thing. We see those in need and we come up with all sorts of excuses as to why we can't help them. Why it wouldn't be helpful to help them. Sometimes we're the Levite. We're often the ones who ignore those who are in need. Now, I did not plan this, but you know, oftentimes we have people who camp out around the building. Sunday mornings, we often have people. I met the young man, Lyndon, who was camped out this morning. Maybe he was gone by the time you got here, but when we came, he was camped out there with his bike and with his sleeping bag, and he slept there last night. Now, we could pass by, right? And this is where the literal conviction comes in. We could pass by on the other side of the sidewalk, keep our heads down, and not acknowledge. We could see him from the parking lot and go, I don't really know. Makes me nervous, and I understand. We could walk through the grass, the wet grass, rather than walk on the sidewalk because we don't want to go by this person that's camped out. We don't know. We make all kinds of justifications. And again, Jesus leaves no room for justification. It's tough. It's convicting. The lawyer was convicted in this because he saw, hopefully, because we don't know what happens after. We don't know what happens with the rest of the lawyer's life. Did he make a change? Did he have to admit? Did he take it to heart? I don't know. Ultimately, the question comes back, who are you? Are you the one who shows compassion? Sometimes. But not completely. See, the only one who can show that compassion is Jesus, at least to the extent that the Samaritan in the story does. We get about halfway. But it's Jesus who comes all the way. It's Jesus who, the one in the story, would have been considered outcast, who would not want to have anything to do with, and yet here's Jesus who comes from the throne of heaven down to the earth to save us messes of human, who can't even decide who we are, who don't know from day to day how we're going to be or what we're going to do or what we're going to say. And Jesus comes down from heaven, all-knowing, all-powerful, comes to us and says, I will be a neighbor to you. I will be a neighbor to the extent that I will give my life for yours. I know all of the confusions. I know all of the justification. I know all of the excuses. I know all of that. And yet, here I am, Jesus says. I am a neighbor for you. And he has compassion on us. He has compassion on the priest, the Levite, the compassion on the victim, compassion on the innkeeper, compassion on the robbers, compassion on everyone in the story, including the lawyer who asked him the question. Jesus' heart goes out. And literally, his blood poured out for you and for me to save us. To save us from that sting in our hearts that we feel when we know we have been the priest or the Levite. That twinge that happens in there. We know that. And it's Jesus who came to overcome that for us. To be the compassionate one. To give his life for you. And today, as we come to the rail once again, as we do every single week, and this is what's so amazing, we come to the table and once again, Jesus binds up our wounds. Pouring on the wine, the blood of Christ, he binds up our wounds. He takes care of us. And he says to those who have been given the charge of taking care of us, he says, I'll pay you back more when I come again. And that's the promise we wait for. That's the promise we wait to be fulfilled when the Samaritan returns. Jesus, the neighbor to us, comes once again to restore everyone. I look forward to that day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard and keep our hearts always in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen.